CAP Radio in Sacramento. This is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It's that time of year when a lot of us start thinking about the colder months, the temperatures dropping, and how not to get sick. Fall is typically when the latest vaccines become available, such as the case for the flu shot, which is available now. But for the first time since the pandemic started, federal eligibility for the latest COVID-19 vaccine has changed pretty significantly. And many people are wondering if they're eligible. The FDA approved new COVID vaccines, but restricted access to those 65 and up, or those who have a health condition considered high risk, which is a pretty broad and long list. However, the CDC Vaccine Advisory Committee is scheduled to meet next week and update its own guidance. Now, as all of that plays out, California has joined Western states in pushing back against the federal overhaul to provide its own COVID vaccine recommendations. So we're in a holding pattern, and it is pretty confusing. CAP Radio reporter Riley Palmer joins us to help untangle what access and eligibility looks like across Sacramento. Hey, Riley.
Hi, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I could just say for myself personally, it was pretty confusing. I just did a quick look with my own insurer to see what vaccines were available in my area, and it said that flu shots were available, but COVID vaccines are still awaiting that CDC guidance and would be available later this month. That's just one example. We've been having lots of conversations with people navigating this. What has been like reporting on this and trying to nail down accurate info?
Yeah, I mean, I would say you're certainly not alone. I think that is like the general consensus is that it is confusing. And that's kind of been my experience a little bit as well reporting on it. Something I found a bit surprising, too, is like not only is it confusing for the average Joe, but it's also unclear to some experts in the state what things are going to look like in the next month. I would say every day things are changing a little bit, which makes it hard.
Yeah. And have you tried to search around yourself?
Yeah. So the other day I did some investigating and I tried to make an appointment for myself at Walgreens just to kind of see. And I was told that I wasn't eligible based on the current requirements. However, Kaiser is my provider now. And I actually had a doctor's appointment this morning. And so I asked them about eligibility and they said that I was eligible and that they were going to start giving vaccines out around September 15th. So there's just a lot of moving parts and people saying different things.
Yeah. It is confusing to navigate. So let's just dive into that latest FDA guidance, because this is kind of where it starts in terms of that confusion. When did the latest COVID vaccines become available and what are the big changes to eligibility?
Right. So on August 27th, the FDA approved the latest COVID vaccines for the 2025-2026 year. The vaccine has been approved for people over the age of 65 and those who are younger with at least one health condition. As you mentioned, things have changed a bit. This is the first time since the start of the pandemic there has been guidance like this from the federal government. In the past, the federal government advised anyone who was 6 months or older, if they wanted the shot, they could go get it. And major pharmacies like Walgreens and CVS have already received the vaccines, while Kaiser, as I mentioned, is kind of awaiting their shipment. And that's the information they're putting on their website.
And that's just one public health arm of the federal government. So how does the CDC factor into all of this?
Yes, I'm happy to untangle this a bit. Here is the chain of command. So you've got the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. They're responsible for regulating vaccine use in the United States. And then after that, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices. Going forward, I'm going to refer to it as ACIP, and I'm going to refer to them a lot. they get together a few times a year and vote on who should get certain vaccines and how often. Then they communicate this recommendation to the Center for Disease Control, which then is supposed to give a more robust recommendation to the American public, insurers, and hospitals. And
okay,
such.
So this does impact insurance coverage.
Yeah, it does. It does. Major insurance companies typically follow the ACIP vaccine guidelines, and that does factor into vaccine coverage for a lot of Americans.
Yeah, so if someone isn't covered, they would have to pay out of pocket, and that can cost hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. I heard on average from an expert I spoke with that it costs about $150 out of pocket, but that completely depends on where you are.
Yeah, and that could be cost prohibitive for a lot of people. So what is behind this big overhaul at the federal level?
So for some context, the Trump administration has made some decisions top down that have and will greatly affect the U.S. vaccine system. They fired CDC Director Susan Menares at the end of August. All the while, four senior CDC staff resigned. This has prompted some outcry from American and California medical associations. And then on top of that, in the summer, the head of the HHS, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., removed every member of the ACIP and replaced them with some known vaccine skeptics, according to reporting by AP News and then other well-regarded outlets. I spoke with a specialist named John Swartzberg. He's the UC Berkeley infectious disease and vaccine expert. And he basically explained to me that the Trump administration has politicized the body that has generally been recognized as impartial or bipartisan.
The people making decisions about vaccines are ideologically opposed to vaccination in general fashion. When you read the FDA statements coming out of the FDA by the people who made the decision to limit the approval of the vaccines for people under 65 only with underlying conditions or people over 65. Their statement is because we want to see a gold standard double-blinded control study showing that it's efficacious and safe. Well, we have all that data and we've had all that data for a long time. And it's been just their opinion that they want to put really obstacles in the way of administering the vaccine. And it's based upon ideology. So the answer to your question is ideology, not science.
Okay. And so in response to all of this, California joined other Western states. They formed an alliance. What do they hope to accomplish with this?
Yeah. So as we've established, the CDC is operating in a way that is generally uncharacteristic, particularly with all these new staffing developments. Another example for you is Dr. Swartzberg said in previous years, the ACIP has had COVID vaccine recommendations ready for the CDC by June, but that has not happened this year. So with the alliance between California, Oregon, and Washington, it's basically a way for them to assert some agency and seek their own recommendations with their own panel of experts. I spoke with another vaccine expert who is a UC San Francisco law professor named Dorit Rice. She clarified for me that the FDA is the only one who can approve vaccines, but states are within their right to decide how to administer it. The question, though, becomes, will insurance cover it? Because as it stands, most private insurers, as well as Medicaid, are tied to ACIP recommendations at the federal level. She also brought up an interesting point that in terms of insurance, which is often national, the West Coast Alliance gives insurance companies a bit more incentive to want to cover vaccine costs for people in those states participating.
The state can change its own insurance policy. And if it's three states like the Western alliances, insurers are a lot more likely to play along, even if they're national. Insurers might say, we really don't want to lose all these three states.
Okay, so there's a little bit of weight and more weight in numbers, but what doesn't this alliance do? Where is there a lack of clarity on what it can do?
So the West Coast Health Alliance was kind of announced September 3rd. So it's in its beginning stages and it doesn't really have a lot of teeth yet. So in general, it's a bit vague on what exactly they plan to do right now, aside from setting their own vaccine recommendations. And there's still a lot of questions, but many of those are going to be resolved in the next few weeks. As mentioned, though, there is promise that it will officially reopen vaccine eligibility on the West Coast to those 6 months and above, just across the board in the state.
When are we going to get more concrete clarity on COVID-19 vaccine access?
Yes, that's a great question because we keep going back to the subject of clarity. So clearly this is an evolving situation and the CDC Advisory Committee will meet next week on September 18th and 19th to discuss, so the ACIP, they're going to discuss the COVID vaccines as well as other vaccines such as RSV. From those discussions, those will inform the official CDC recommendations. And then that will inform how the West Coast Alliance reacts, though they seem very adamant on recommending the vaccine to those 6 months or older.
So in the meantime, what did you learn about what access looks like in California?
So the California Department of Public Health is recommending that people around 6 months or older get the vaccine should they want it. This is consistent with the past guidelines, as I mentioned, and also a deviation from what's going on federally. But as it stands right now today, most places are, and when I say most places, I mean like pharmacies, which is generally the most common way people can get a vaccine. They're going by FDA guidelines. So this does limit options as opposed to previous years. But this is likely to change soon, as I just learned this morning about Kaiser. And currently, like, major pharmacies in California have kind of found some interesting loopholes, which has led to a bit of confusion in and of itself. UCSF Professor Rice and I discussed how major pharmacies are asking people to self-attest to having an underlying condition, and they're not asking for any proof of said condition.
It's a way for CVS to give the vaccine to anyone who says yes. And the reason they're doing it is because of California law, not because of the FDA.
Okay, so what about here locally? I mean, we're hearing conflicting anecdotal accounts about trying to get a COVID vaccine, it being covered by insurance. How did you come to understand why it's happening?
I think it was evident a lot in my research, because as of right now, like, who is doing what in which places is a bit fragmented. And that's probably why we've heard different anecdotal accounts. Like, just for instance, you know, basically anybody could walk into a CVS and say that they have a condition and then get a vaccine from, you know, a pharmacy in that way, because of the self-attest factor. And for the Sacramento region, I also did confirm with the Sacramento County Public Health Department that they're also admittedly a bit confused and are waiting for more clarity, which, again, will come after the ACIP meets. Here's what Public Health Manager Rachel Allen has to say about the confusion from the top down.
It's definitely a change, and we had really had reached a place where we felt like vaccines were settled science and that we could rely on these, the CDC's ACIP recommendations. And a lot of that is being brought into question. We really believe in the trusted science behind vaccines and the evidence that shows the protection that they provide and the massive change that they have created in this country and around the world, improving health conditions for people. So we hope to, we're really grateful for the move that California is making to continue to strengthen that confidence in vaccinations and in public health.
Okay, Riley, so there's still a lot of question marks that are out there. Where's your reporting on this topic taking you next? What more would you like to find out?
Well, so there's a legislative bill called SB 144 coming down the pike, which would legally give California more autonomy on how they want to distribute vaccines, which would direct or would directly impact pharmacies. So I'm interested to see where that goes. And I, like many experts, I think, are kind of on the edge of my seat to see how the meeting next week with ACIP will go and, you know, what, how the states in the Western Alliance will react to that.
And that is CAP Radio reporter Riley Palmer. Thank you so much for untangling a very tangled web of information, Riley.
I tried. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.